it was a really, really down moments, and I wasn't brave enough to ask for help, you know. And it was a really challenging time, but sport really dragged me through that aspect, and I was incredibly lucky. But
welcome to the Social Fabric podcast with me, Andrea Splendori, and this week my guest is Shane Mulgrew. Shane is a coach and a consultant from Northern Ireland. The songs in this podcast have been shortened for rights reason. The show goes out every week on Near FM 90.3 and Flirt FM 100.3. For more information and for live events, please visit socialfabric.ie. If you're interested in being part of the program, and if you would like to be a guest, please email me at andrea@socialfabric.ie. The title tune is Alice by Lucky Bones.
Can I call you up, oh Alice, on a Friday night? We could reminisce on old days, and we could talk a while. Just sit and talk a while.
So tell me something. Well, let's start from there. You say you're a I love that. Is you're a Tyrone man, but now you're living there, which is at Marifelt, and it's not too far from Belfast. So it's such a small country, but yet you made three distinctions straight away. Tell me a bit about Tyrone. Tell me a bit about Northern Ireland and you yourself.
Yeah, so I'm actually where I'm at in my life. I don't label myself as anything really. But people, if they ask where you're from, I said I'm a Tyrone man, obviously. But I believe that we're all more than that, much more than that. But yeah, I was born in Tyrone. My parents are from Tyrone. And I spent, I suppose, the first 22, 23 years of my life there. School, playing sports, played football for County Tyrone as well. I met a girlfriend, or a potential girlfriend, and moved to Derry. So that's normally the case for a lot of people. But yeah, that's an ex-girlfriend. So I've been in Derry ever since. I've decided to stay. All the verbal abuse that I've received hasn't faltered me, but it's all good crack. Anybody that doesn't really know Tyrone and Derry, there's a real competition there in regards to sport. So if you're a Tyrone man in Derry, you have to be thick-skinned. That's for sure. You have to take a lot of stick. But I enjoy that. To be fair, I enjoy that bit of crack and that bit of banter. It's all good fun, you know. I've been in Derry. Derry's an amazing place. It's with amazing people. I don't think I will ever, as much as I was once called a lonesome traveller. As much as I love travelling, I don't think I would ever leave Ireland or the north of Ireland, because I think it's amazing. It has everything that a lot of countries don't have, you know, in regards to nature. You've got, I'm literally about 35 minutes from Port Stewart, which is right beside the sea. And again, then the other side, I'm 30 minutes from Belfast and Derry City, you know, which gives that city life as well. So you've got the best of everything here. And everybody's quite relaxed as well. And I just love it. Have you ever been yourself?
Oh, I know well. Yeah, no, I travel to the north quite a lot. Yeah, I know well. I know all the areas. And it's perhaps one of the most amazing scenic routes going from east to west in the north, heading towards Derry. It's just spectacular. I can't remember what it's called, but the mountains there, it's just you can lose yourself.
Yeah, Antrim Coast.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Yeah. No, absolutely. Tell me about the football league. That's a big thing up north. For parts of the population, it's a big thing of north. I guess you're talking about GAA football, GAA. Yeah, so that's a massive part of in Tyrone. You know, they've done well for a while, and they did okay last year. But tell me about that. What was that like playing for the county?
Amazing. As I say, I sort of grew up. I mean, Tyrone. I grew up in an era where Tyrone were the best. You know, or at least are near the best. So it was it was always just a massive thing. And obviously my parents were heavily involved in that. And it's nearly like GAA is like a religion. It's like nearly like a cult in a way, that it just drags you in and you feel part of something. So it's really strong from that perspective. What I would say about the parts of the GAA is it can be hard to separate yourself from that. So to realize that there's actually more, you know, to life and more to the world than just football. Because GAA definitely does pull you in. As it is a strong culture, a strong community. And I grew up in that. It was strange to even move to a different county. Obviously you realize that this, it's the exact same thing in every county. They all want their county to be the best. They all want to win and they will do anything to win. Tron were the best for a long time and then they did dip. But then last year, obviously, they're the best again, which obviously my neighbors didn't like, obviously, but I will say is Derry are definitely growing. I must say, I know some of the players that play in the Derry team and the managers as well. And Derry are coming, I must say. Derry are definitely coming. So there's definitely a rivalry there that's really interesting. And I think they will meet again fairly soon. But GAA is a really, really strong, strong culture throughout Ireland. But in Tyrone, it's a religion, you know.
It's interesting you say, because I interviewed a couple of people. I interviewed Aidan O'Mahony, that played for Kerry, for Captain Kerry, for years, you know, and he had a very similar view of GAA. But you just said something that was quite interesting. You know, it's hard to get it, something like it's hard to get away from it sometimes, is what you said. That's interesting. Yeah. What would you mean by that?
You nearly feel like it's like because they're a family, they take you in and they treat you so unbelievably well. It's like a family, and it's nearly like if you think of your own immediate family, it's nearly if you left them for a while or decided to do something other than spend time with your family, it's nearly like that you're doing something wrong, you know. So there's part of that. Like you see sometimes people going traveling to Australia. Maybe that particular person was maybe the best player in the team, and then he wants to go and travel to Australia. That that in the GAA community that's not allowed. You shouldn't be doing that. You need to stay and play for your club. You need to stay and play for your county. And as amazing as the GAA is, I'm very lucky that I found out there's more to the world, there's more to life than the GAA. But again, it is all about, you know, getting yourself into a really strong community and culture, and the GAA has that, and they all looked after each other as well. So as much as it's an amazing community and culture, there is more. There's more to life than just playing football. I realised that. I put my whole life into playing GAA, and I played soccer, played every sport there is. I did a bit of boxing, and then I do CrossFit as well. So I try and dip my toe in the ring now, you know.
And I will move away from GAA in a second, but I'm quite curious because it's kind of trying to inform myself about the next question I'm going to ask you about your current job. And I know you do some talks to schools and, you know, young kids, but as well as all of the, like, how much was it, how important was for you as a kid, you know, as, you know, in terms of friendship and, you know, really glued together and perhaps keeping you away from trouble? I don't know if you ever got into trouble like most of us, but that keeping away from trouble, being partisan, how important was that?
Yeah, I mean that's the most important thing, really. It's when I look back at my growing up, the amazing times that I had playing football, you know, with my friends, and I never ever once got into any severe trouble. But I suppose I was lucky. I had amazing parents, but I mean, where I lived was pretty quiet as well. But I can see how maybe other parts of Ireland or the north of Ireland can, you know, you can be led astray. But that's why the sport and health and fitness and all them things are so important for your upbringing. because I didn't, it never cost me a thought that the whole drinking alcohol, I know drugs wasn't a big thing when I was younger. It is a major thing now in today's society, but I was never ever strayed that direction. I was just obsessed with being a footballer, and Peter Canavan was my hero growing up. I just wanted to be Peter Canavan basically. And it was amazing. And my parents are the most supportive parents in the world. They drove me to Cork one time for a football tournament, you know, and Cork, it wasn't as straight a road as it is now. It's a full day's travel. And that was just what they did. It didn't cost them a thought. Any money that was needed to go towards a sporting, if I was going traveling with a sporting team, they would do everything they could. And it's not like they had a lot of money. So they just knew, they were obsessed with sport. It was in us from a young age. And I would highly recommend the GAA, soccer, any sort of sporting organization at all. I would highly recommend if you're a young person or if you're a parent looking to maybe point your child in the right direction, it would be involve them in sport, because it's an amazing journey, especially for a young person. And as you say, meet loads of new people. And I was lucky. I was pretty good at it as well, you know.
So why did you give up playing, and what are you missing the most of playing the game?
I still play. I still play. I play for my home club, actually. Although I live in Marafalt here. Marafalt's like 5 minutes from Tyrone. So I still play for my home club. We had a pretty good year. But last week, I just injured my knee. So I'm out now for a couple of weeks. But it's the end of the season. It's the end of the season. But no, it's for me, whereas if I look back when I was maybe 20, 21 years of age, I was obsessed, and that's all I thought about was GAA. Whereas now it's just about enjoyment. And I actually, probably this year is the best year I've ever had playing football, because I just go to enjoy myself. And that sort of, I don't know if you've ever played sport before or been a part of a team, yeah. But that's social aspect in the changing rooms and in the training ground, and you know, you have that bit of banter with all your players, and that bit of slagging and crack that you have. That's the best part. That's why you go to training. That's why you play, is just to have that wee bit of silliness in your life. Because I suppose my career is quite serious. You're dealing with a lot of people's internal developments and their financial situation. So it's quite serious. So for me to take myself out of that seriousness and after you're a bit silly sometimes, it's like therapy, you know.
No, I gave up playing football about a few years ago. I'm an old man, but I asked them to keep me on the WhatsApp group just for that bit, just for this the silliness. So tell me about your first choice of song then, Shane, please. What did you pick and why?
I suppose this last year I've spent a long time listening to this guy. He's a guy called Ram McMullen. I don't know if you know him, but he's fantastic. And I suppose I like songs that really, trigger emotions, get me thinking a wee bit. And my first song would be If This Is The End by Ram McMullen. Okay, it is, I suppose, quite an emotionally triggering song, you know, and that's why I like it. That's why I enjoy it, is because it gets me thinking. I love songs that take me, you know, back to gratitude. Or take me to, do you know what? Just make me think about, you know, where I'm at, and keep me grounded. Have me think of my family and things like that. I don't know, a wee bit emotional that way, you know. But that they're the types of songs that I enjoy the most.
I'm feeling helpless, and all they keep saying that I can't see you and might never see you again. I'm sure you're hurting. I'm hurting.
Okay, so you mentioned your current job, and so tell us a bit about what you do and how did you get to it? How did you get to do what you do today?
Well, right now, at the same time, I am a performance and business development coach, essentially. And again, I don't like to label myself, but in a world where you need to be labeled in the business world, that's essentially what I am. What took me there is, I suppose we were talking about sport there. I've been up when I left school. I had several professional trials with a few of the top Premier League football clubs, and I just wanted to be a professional footballer. And then when I hit 18, 19, I was playing for the Northern Ireland international squad soccer team, and then that just stopped. And I had to go into the real world then. Okay, so I didn't sign a professional contract with anyone. And then all of a sudden I had to go and get a job. And that was just it was just like hitting a brick wall, really. And I didn't know what to do, because all my life I just wanted to be a professional footballer. And that just wasn't going to be the case. Or at least at that time, I probably should have kept at it. But I just went into playing more GAA. I had to find work then, and I had to find a career and something that I enjoyed. And I tried school for a while, and the principal says to me, yeah, give it a go. And we had a conversation, and he says, look, at least you tried. I was never one for the books, wasn't highly educated. I say my whole life went into sport. But there was a 4-year period from when I left school till just that 4 years, maybe 21, 22. And I was just completely lost. I started to feel, you know, certain emotions that I'd never felt before. Things like loneliness, depression. What was the point in life, really? I was really, really down moments, and I wasn't brave enough to ask for help, you know. And it was a really challenging time, but sport really dragged me through that aspect, and I was incredibly lucky. But I went straight into full-time work. I was working on a building site, you know, with a young person that had a career, or thought he had a career in professional football. And then all of a sudden I was mixing with guys that probably felt the same as me for such a long, like adults, you know, just really hated their life, hated their job. They lived just for that crack, having banter with you. And it just wasn't for me, and it just was a downward spiral, really. I took into alcohol, started enjoying myself on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then I would miss work on the Monday. And that was just recurrent. That was a habit that was created just because I wanted to get myself away from how I was feeling. And them 4 years are unbelievably challenging. And then I found reading. I found a book. There's a thing called The Secret. You're probably aware of it. I have my own views on The Secret, but it was the starting point for me. It sort of helped me realize, you know what, I can do something myself here. So I started reading books. The first book I read was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And I still read it. It's an amazing book. I love it. As I learned, I started to take action from that particular book, and I bought more books, started to read. I started to develop myself in many ways. I even took into like website design. I was thinking of loads of things that I could try and do to make myself an income and to build some sort of career for myself. And I kept doing that for a long time. So it was maybe 7 years of just, I suppose, trying to develop myself, but all in the wrong areas. So I was just, okay, this will make me money, I'll try that. This will make me money, I'll try that. So and financially, I was always in a difficult situation. I had no sense and no awareness or knowledge of how to use money or how to make money. And so I was chasing that, chasing financial income all the time. And then I was out with a best friend. It was like a double date. He was with his wife, and I was with my girlfriend at the time. and we had a conversation with him. I was working for her father as a plant machinery mechanic, basically fixing large machines. And I met him, we had a good conversation. He felt ill at the time, and then 2 days later he had passed away. Suddenly he had took like a sudden like heart defect, a heart problem. And that was, for me at that time, I never really lost anybody, you know, really, really close to me before. And that was a bit of a shock. The fact that we were actually in company and then 2 days later he was gone. So I was in this big large industrial shed or garage, and I just got the news that he had passed away, and I couldn't believe it. It was a shock. And then that's when I decided, I says, look, if life can be taken from you so easy, so simply as that, then I need to start enjoying my life here and need to put myself first. So obviously I'm obsessed with health and fitness. So I went and did my qualification. I was a personal trainer, got my qualification, and I started training people part-time on top of my job. So I'd work from maybe 6 in the morning till 5 p.m. and then I would train people from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. and just do that every day. So I was just working all the time. And then it got to the point where I built a strong personal training business really, really quickly. And I went full-time into that. And that's how it started. That's how my career started, and just looking after myself and working for myself, that the personal training was the start of it all, you know.
Brilliant. I'm going to ask you a little bit more about the development of the business I was going, but you say at one point you weren't ready to ask for help, you know, when you were feeling really down and, you know, I suppose depression. And what was missing there? I mean, you had a community around you. What do you think you didn't allow you to ask for help?
I suppose it was just the person I was. I was always the, even at school, I always had this attitude, or this mask that I was the cool guy, that I was the guy that played all the sport. I was the best at sport. And, you know, nobody could get to me. And I was just that I nearly had to show that I was better than everybody. And how could I do that and then just ask for help, like a vulnerability thing or an insecure thing? So I never felt I could do that. You know, if I looking back, it was the biggest mistake ever, because my parents would have dived on that, and the GAA community would have dived on that. You know, all they would have, I would have had amazing help, no doubt. But it was just a fear in me, and I just didn't want to show any weakness. You know, and that was probably my ego. Obviously, in the work that I do now, I understand exactly what I went through and why I didn't speak up. But that's why I, even on social media, I ask people to speak up, and I open myself up to helping people as much as I can. Because it was a strange time. I don't really like to admit it, but there was a time when it was near the end, you know, and I just wasn't brave enough to do anything as silly as that, you know, and thankfully I wasn't. But it was a tough time, and I suppose why I go into the education system, I've actually just volunteered to go and help a large community that helps young people in entrepreneurship, and you do that as a volunteer. Because there's a transition there from when you leave school till you're trying to find a career. There's a transition there that I found really difficult, and I still see people find it really difficult now. And I suppose I want to help people in that area, you know, specifically because I went through that. So, I think young people, especially with when you look at social media, social media wasn't as big when I was maybe 15 years ago when I was coming out of school. So it's definitely much harder, and you have to look good all the time. You're comparing yourself to others all the time. So yeah, I definitely try and help the younger generation as much as I can, you know.
Oh, that's great. And it's interesting what you said about your story, because okay, your ambition was to be a Premier League footballer, but as you said, you know, that everything then crashes down, because, you know, that's just your dream, and we're all allowed to have dreams. It's important to have dreams, but, you know, as you grow older, you realize that you can realize dreams, but you can also be realistic about it. But at that age, 18, that's it. You just, that's all you want to be, and that's all you know. Whether it's a football or a rugby or being a musician or being a, it doesn't matter what it is. And then the moment it crashes down and reality hits and you need to find the money, that's that transition you're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah, because I was lucky, as my parents told me I could be anything anyway, and they're right. But they just didn't, I suppose, know how to, show me how to get there, you know. And what happened to me is, was once it ended, I gave up on that dream and decided that I had to do something else. Whereas I actually had a best friend that he was probably wasn't as probably as good as me playing football, but he signed a professional contract when he was 21. To go to a major team. So if I had a kept going, I mean, who knows? But the problem is I give up. And that's what you can't do. You can't give up on your dream if it's a passion about you. And I think if you never give up, you will always be directed to a better place. You know, whatever's meant for you, if you don't give up, you will always continue to get somewhere that, you know, is meant for you, that's amazing, that and you will love it. That's what I believe. But I had given up at 18, and that was a problem, because I went from wanting to be a professional footballer, you know, and seeing, I seen that world, because when I went over to, I trials with Man City, Sunderland, all the top clubs in England, and I had seen that high life, and I had seen what that type of life was like, and I had a taste for it, and I loved it, you know, and that's what I wanted. And then all of a sudden I was listening to older men on a building site at 6 a.m, you know, talking about how much they hated their life and hated their job and hated their career, and telling me to get out of it as quick as possible, because this isn't the world for me. So it was definitely a shock to the system, that's for sure, you know.
Tell me something, who would you have signed for, who would have been your dream team to sign for?
Manchester United at that time, obviously. But I was still saying that, I mean, I'm a United fan, of course.
Fair enough.
But, I mean, if Man City had a commitment, I would have signed for them too. Don't worry about that. But, yeah, Manchester United's my club.
Excellent. Tell me something. What's your second song, please?
Better Days Are Coming, okay, by Dermot Kennedy. Again, I fell into his world. He's an amazing artist as well. Quite different to Ryan, but again, he creates songs there that touch the soul a wee bit, and you can really relate to them. And Better Days Are Coming, and that's something I don't exactly tell myself that now, because I'm a lot more aware. But back in the day, if I had had that song and told myself it every morning when I woke up, then it would have been a great song for me. You know?
Better days are coming. If no one told you, I hate to hear you crying over the phone, dear. For 7 years running, you've been a soldier. But better days are coming. Better days are coming for you. So when the night feels like forever, I remember what you said to me. I know you've been hurting, waiting on a train that just won't come.
From a personal trainer, then physical activities and all that comes with personal training, you then move into this performance coach, right? So that transition, how did that happen, and what do you do now? So if I come and look for you as a coach, what do you offer me, and how do you take me there?
Yeah. So with the personal training, I grew that really fast. So within 6 months, I had 120 clients, you know, which was a shock to me even. And how I did that was just self-talk. I told myself that more clients were coming every day, and that was my belief. And they just came. And in 6 months, I had 120 clients. That just wasn't sustainable. So as much as financially, it was very rewarding and it was great and instant growth. But from a health perspective, it was really, really draining. You know, it was hard. So I needed to think, okay, look, I can't do this for years upon years. I need to find something else that's, you know, providing me with more income and grow my business, but you know, it's not as draining on my health. And I had actually neglected my own health and fitness during that time as well, because I put in so much into other people. I then looked at the online space. I'd been attracted to that world of helping people online, which meant I could work from my laptop and help people probably more effectively, but from around the world. So it wasn't just local people. And I dived into that world and I invested my first, the first money that I ever invested into mentorship was $7,000. And that to me was like, that was like life savings at that time. You know, it was like crazy. It was like I was so scared to do it. But I invested $7,000 into a mentorship. And he installed an element of belief in me of what I potentially could do. And then I worked with him for 3 months. And within that 3 months, I had earned about $25,000, I would say, which was, again, an eye-opener to me, because I had spent the previous 6 months working 18-hour days, you know, for less, whereas now I was probably working about 5 hours a day, maybe, growing an online business, and I made $25,000 in 3 months, which was, again, was scary. So I just wanted to continue to develop that. I then took myself out of the health and fitness space to an extent. I wanted to work with you know, more affluent people that needed my help, needed help with their health, needed help with their performance, needed to be consistent every single day in order to grow their business, in order to still have time and still the energy to I mean, come home and I mean you're married yourself, to have a sit and have a conversation, have the energy to have a conversation with your wife. So tick all those boxes in life, you know, have that energy, because I'm a highly energetic person. I don't spend a lot of time sleeping. I'm going to be honest. I 6 hours is max that I would sleep, and I have energy all day, every day. So I wanted to install that in a business owner and take my performance and help them, and that's essentially what I do right now is performance. I help people with and a wee bit of what I do is, so what stimulates me internally isn't going to stimulate you. Okay, so what we do, we need a deep dive into the individual. It is all about the individual, because that's the most important thing. And I think people nowadays neglect that. They look at the financial income, they look at the business growth. They look at the amount of employees they want to have, the effect they want to have in the world, but they neglect themselves, and they neglect to understand the power that lies within an individual, and the energy that you can portray, that's infectious, and that can help your business and help your income, and that can attract so many amazing things. So I work with one service is personal development and performance development, where I work with individual. I work with them for a year. And I guarantee a result. And if I, for whatever reason, if that result isn't guaranteed, then they get their money back. Okay. So that's how confident I am in that particular service, because I am diving deep into the internal aspects of an individual, their brain, their thoughts, their past traumas, their, you know, what they want to achieve. So there's so many things that I look into, so many KPIs. And that's just a guaranteed service that I love, because I love seeing that change in an individual, because I've seen that in myself, and I've seen how I can change my own life, my own world, and I love doing that for others, you know. The business development aspect of what I do was just, I fell into that world because I've basically at this moment in time, I've invested about $120,000 into my business. Okay, so you know, and I'll be honest, a lot of the money that I invested, you know, is lost because there's so many systems that I took from other mentors that don't work for me. There's so many ideas and just so many tools that I took from other mentors that just don't work for my business. Most of the people that I've worked with, they want a big, large business. They want maybe 100 employees. And that's just not me at this moment in time. Because of the way I work and the type of life I want to live, I have a really small community and culture. It's personal development and business development, but I don't need to work with a lot of people to have a major effect on the world. That's the way I like it. I feel like this is my life, you know, and I need to enjoy myself as well. If I put everything into trying to grow a business for financial gain, I would be missing out on a lot of experiences that the world has and a lot of amazing things, you know. So I like to keep things really, really simple and work with people that I align and connect with internally, spiritually as well. So that's really, really important because I've had to work with some people that I didn't exactly align with. And, you know, that's really, really tough. That's really draining, you know. So I have the performance, basically peak performance, where I work with an individual, and then I have business development, where I guarantee a revenue amount for that individual. Okay, and it's pillared in a way that all the risk is on me. So it takes all the risk off my clients and it builds trust. Okay. So essentially I don't sell my service because I suppose what I took from my previous mentors is that hard sell, you know, when you're trying to trigger people's emotions to get them to buy from you. I really didn't enjoy that part. I despise that part. I think that if someone wants to work with you, they will just work with you. So with my service, I needed to create an offer that was a no-brainer. I needed to create an offer that people are just want to take from me. And then as I say, all the risk is on me. It means that my clients know that I'm going to do everything I can to make them a success or else I won't get paid, you know? So that's what I've sort of created. And it's quite unique and something I really enjoy, you know?
That's quite amazing. I can understand the peak performance guarantee because I can get that. As you're talking to me and I know exactly what you're saying, you want to do 100 push-ups a day. I can only do one and that's all is enough for me. And enough, one push-up is better than none push-ups, and you'll get me there. No problem. I'll get all that. But the business development, that's an interesting one that you guarantee a growth. And not that I want to know how you do, because that's your secret, if you want. But, I mean, that's an interesting one. I can see the value. You know, if I come to you, look, I'm making 50 grand a year. I wouldn't mind bringing it to 250 grand. You can say, yeah, I'll get you there. So how does that work and who do you attract? What kind of people come to you then?
Yeah, so it's mainly people that have an established business, but they're maybe stuck at that, maybe that particular revenue. Okay. What I do, and I have a strong belief in relationships. Okay. Outside of business, I think relationships and building strong, genuine, sincere, and authentic relationships is the most important thing for a business, for anyone in the world, because that's what we're about. We're about building relationships with people. So that's the strongest part about my business is I do that. I connect people with their target audience and then they build a relationship and then obviously they work together and that grows their income. So that's the most and the strongest thing that I have for if you are a business or worker with me is that I connect you with your target audience and you build a relationship with them. But the reality is in the business world, the reality is the systems and the processes are already there. There's already businesses doing them that are successful. So depending on the type of business you have, depending on your target audience, there's loads of variables, okay? But the systems, the strategies and the processes are already there. They already work, okay? It's just getting them to work for you, okay? And then making sure that aligns with your target audience. So like there's so many social media platforms. You have Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, you have YouTube, you have TikTok. There's so many different areas that you can dive into to grow your business. But doing them all at once isn't gonna work. Okay. So it's identifying which aligns to your target audience, which is going to be the most effective. The type of business you want to grow and own and earn is so important as well. Okay. So I'm a guy, I don't need 100 employees or 100 clients. Okay. That will be unbelievably draining to me. But some people do want that, you know. So it depends on what you want. And this is why I only work with certain types of people, because if you're someone that wants to have 100 clients in a month, then I'm probably not the guy that you're going to want to work with, all right? Because that's really hard to build strong relationships with. And I do a qualifying call from my clients just to make sure we connect and align, you know.
Brilliant. Sounds very good. And what's your last song before I'll ask you a couple of more questions, please?
Yeah, it's Sapling by Foy Vance.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
Sapling by Foy Vance. I'm a big Foy Vance fan. Actually, if I could be a singer, I would want his voice. I would want his voice. It's an amazing. It's an amazing voice. But yeah, I'm a big fan of his.
You just say something that if you could be a singer, of course you do know you can be a singer, right?
Yeah, I can be a singer. Yeah, absolutely. We can be anything. But I suppose I've never actually tried it. I've never tried it, but we'll not try it today.
I remember way back when I felt only ennui, like nothing could complete me. Promise of a rising sun, illuminating everyone. The very thought to feed. My life would have blinded light.
And you mentioned a couple of things, the word gratitude. What's gratitude then for you?
That just takes me back till, I suppose, my parents or my family, just being grateful. I mean, it's for me personally, it just brings me so many great feelings, because I have been at a place where things were tough and I've had them thoughts in my head where, you know, I need to end this, or I'm so unhappy, or why is life so hard on me and why me? And being grateful for the fact that I've been given this opportunity, that I've been given this life, you know, for whatever reason, I have had this journey from when I was born till now, for whatever reason, you know, that was given to me, you know, and I have to be so grateful. I think people neglect that, the simplicity in being grateful. Some people think that they need to be grateful for the money that they have, or they need to be grateful for the luxuries of life, but it's really just the fact that you've got a roof over your head, you've got clothes, you know, on your back, you've got someone that you can have a conversation with, a deep conversation with. There's so many things that we can be grateful for that we forget to remind ourselves, because gratitude, it just, the feelings that it gives you when you truly be grateful. I mean, there's no feeling in the world like it, you know. It's a secret recipe to happiness, you know, for me. So constant reminder. I have loads of different signs around my house to tell me to be grateful. When I see the word love, I just think of my family. You know, so there's so many reminders, because we are human beings. We do want things. We still want the riches. We still want the fast cars and the big houses and the holidays. But true, I think in the world we live in today, gratitude is just it's a secret, a reminder that we are here, that we should be happy, that we have every opportunity in the world to make our life better if you want to. But here and now, yeah, we've got to be grateful that we're breathing, you know.
And the last, thanks for that. That's very eloquent way of putting it, because the words are different meanings for everybody, you know. So, but just the last question that really intrigues me, because it's something that I struggle with. I'm a different generation, but I find it really hard to let people know who I am on social media, to the point that I gave up. I don't really care, right? I don't believe it's possible, put it like that, right? Now, I had this conversation with you in the last 40 minutes or so. I never met you. You come across as a genuine guy. You know, you're telling me what you're doing, which is fabulous. And if I had a need for a performance coach, yeah, I'd be tempted to contact you, right? So, and that's I'm telling you like it is. How do you portray that on social media where you're bombarded by, you know, there's millions of performance coaches, there's 200 million business development, there's a pile of people there every day trying to sell you something. And how do you portray yourself, and how do you stay true to who you are on social media? Or
that's a great question, and the reason why how I knew the answer is because I did it the incorrect way the whole time. I just think you have to be yourself. Simple as that. If there's something you don't want to do, just don't do it. Simple as that. So I don't really like, I used to do the videos, the content every day, and that, I mean, it works for some people, but you aren't attracting your true, you know, target audience, the true people that you need to connect with. So I said that the last 6 months, in regards to content, in regards to getting myself out on there on social media, I've never done any less work in my life, to be honest. I just try and have conversations with people, that's it, and speak to them and find out if they need my help. If they don't need my help, do I need their help? Or can I point them in a direction to help them, you know, with maybe one of the connections I have? So I just believe that all you can be is yourself. If you chase that dream, if you chase money, if you chase clients, you're only pushing them away. So, I mean, in your example, I mean, the reason that me and you are talking today is not because I seen you on social media. You know, it's someone that speaks very highly of you, put you in contact with me, you know, and that's the best way to do things, you know. So you have a strong relationship with someone else, and that someone else spoke to me, you know, and that's why I think relationships is so, so important. And I believe there will be a day when social media is not going to be as easy accessed. It's going to be, you're going to have to pay for it. It's going to be like Sky TV. You need to pay for it. You need a subscription for it. I believe that's where it will go, because greed is still part of the world, and the owners of these platforms will want more out of us. So I think there's going to be a time where we don't exactly have full access to all the social medias, and we're just going to have our relationships with the connections that we have. So I believe it's a no-brainer to just be yourself first and foremost. A lot of people don't know what they want. Okay, a lot of people don't. If you ask them, what do you want? They'll tell you they want certain things, but they truly, you know, if you really dug deep down into an individual, you know, it's probably not the case. A lot of people think they want more clients, but they also want, you know, more peace and quiet. You know, that doesn't really happen that way, you know. So it's be yourself first and foremost. I think that's the most important thing. If you can treat people the way you want to be treated, you know, it's really, really important. And then just try and connect with people, try and have genuine conversations. That's what I do, and that's what I will continue to do, you know.
And that's where this podcast has started. You know, the tagline is mending the social fabric of society one conversation at a time. That's what I'm trying to do. It's a simple conversation, giving you the space to talk about yourself and your business. It's not necessarily your business, whatever. This conversation has been wonderful. And that's what I appreciate. I appreciate the honesty that people allow me to listen into their life for an hour or so, you know, and maybe of help to somebody else, or may not, who knows, but, you know, there's a connection there we didn't have before. Who knows where it's going, you know?
And exactly. Yeah, the reality is we've now built that connection, okay? Like, we built that, and I know by you, you're genuine. Something that many people don't have is their, you know, listening skills. A lot of people don't have that. A lot of people want to talk. So being a good listener is so important, and people really appreciate that, especially from a conversation perspective. We've built that connection. And then what happens now is I know this guy. He does these conversations. He can help you. And then that'll be a flow of leads towards you. And that's what you deserve, you know? So because you're being genuine, you're being yourself, and you're helping people. That's what it's all about, essentially, you know?
Absolutely. But listen, before I let you go, thanks for that. Before I let you go, you mentioned a couple of books at the beginning of the conversation. What would you recommend? And it doesn't have to be related to work, even if you're the best novel you ever read. What would you recommend to the listeners?
The number one?
Any book at all.
Any book. I don't want to... Well, Think and Grow Rich was my first book. It's an amazing book, but I think everybody knows about it at this stage. One book I really, really enjoyed was actually Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights.
Okay.
That's one of the recent ones I read. Why I really enjoyed that was because of what he's been through, you know, what he's been through in his life. And again, that in his book, it was just all about green lights. So green lights, taking the positive out of so many unbelievably negatives. And he never gave up, okay? He never ever gave up in his life. So that was a book I would recommend reading, that one, in the modern world, you know.
Brilliant. Well, look, Shane Mulgrew, thanks a million for this conversation. I'll put your details on the show notes for people that want to find you on your website, Instagram or LinkedIn, wherever they might find you. And until next time, thanks a million. Really appreciate it.
Andrea, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
But if I meet you somewhere far down the line, the sun still shines in your hair, I kiss you once, then I'll say goodbye. Yeah, if I meet you someplace far down the line, the sun still shines in your face. I'll kiss you once, then I'll sing.